Now we get our weekly weather update and discussion of all things climate related with retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Last week, we ran a special program about the solar eclipse, so welcome back, Hugh.
Hey, how's it going, Bria?
Good. Where did you go to see the eclipse, and what did you experience?
Well, my wife and I went to Rochester. We planned that months and months in advance, and unfortunately, we did not score. We happened to be one of the places that had clouds during the eclipse. And, you know, it was funny. On Sunday, I saw the handwriting on the wall that if you went from the thruway, or rather the northway east, it would be much clearer, and we would be really iffy in and out of clouds. Now, some people did see it to the west and east of Rochester, as close by as like Syracuse, and I think a few people saw it on Niagara. But I could see what was happening on the satellite pictures. The clouds were actually thickening right as the unfortunately, the eclipse was getting underway, so we did not see it. But what we did see, and we cannot be taken away, was the darkness. It got amazingly dark because there was no sunlight or there was no photosynthesis or anything. It got just as dark as night. It came on very quickly. My wife is saying 10 minutes before, it's not so bad. I said, oh, you haven't seen anything yet. We looked over to the west, and there was the wall of darkness coming at us. And, it got very dark. And then also, what really blew me away was what happened next. I guess as the sunlight was starting to, the lighter clouds were starting to come our way, the sky, it was like someone smeared the sky with blood. It was carmine red, and it looked like something out of the Bible. It looked really frightening. I wonder if this is what it looked like when the comet hit 65 million years ago. I don't know. But that perhaps was the most interesting part of the whole eclipse, that all of a sudden you had this reddish tinge in the sky, and then you could see the light coming from the southwest, and within moments it was all over. Now, the other thing that was interesting was there was a thermometer next to the hotel I was at, and the temperature, are you ready for this? It only dropped 3 degrees. It went from 62 to 59. And the reason why I don't think it dropped more than that is because we had the thick clouds. It prevented radiational cooling that you would get during a normal eclipse passage. In fact, we grabbed our jackets and 15 minutes before the total, like, I'm the one telling people that's when all the temperature drop happens. And sure enough, it did. It didn't really drop much more than that.
Sounds like it was much more dramatic where you were. I was in Buffalo, and most of it was blocked out, was eclipsed by the clouds. Yeah. But I didn't get that red effect. It did seem sort of twilighty in 360 degrees of the horizon, which was interesting. There were 8 hawks circling around in the sky just before the eclipse started, and then they flew away from the sun later. I was wondering if that was because of the temperature drop affecting the winds, or if birds just get freaked out by the eclipse. Do you have any ideas?
I'm not an expert on the matter, but my guess is that they freaked out is probably the better way of going. They probably were confused anyways. They probably didn't know figured it was evening. So they were like, it's time to roost. And then just as they were getting to roost, the light comes back. Now, I heard birds fluttering around too. Not that many, but I did hear some when we were in Rochester. I guess the good news with us, we missed all the horrible traffic jams, but I guess the Northway was a really bad gridlock road more than the thruway, because people who waited last minute headed towards northeastern New York and into New England and Vermont, where it was much clearer. The sky was much, much clearer. And of course, it was gorgeous the day before and the day after the eclipse. But you know what? Timing's everything. And it just didn't happen. I've been lucky enough to see 2 eclipses without clouds in my life, total solar eclipses. So I guess I consider myself blessed. But the providence, to see that red providence, with a total, that would have been cool to see. By the way, there was very few, if any, reports of anyone seeing the comet, the Devil's Comet.
And I'm interested in the red tinge that you mentioned earlier. Do you know what might have caused it?
Probably refraction of the light. Basically, when you have an eclipse, you get kind of a reddish glow. I've seen millions of pictures with this. You get the deep blue sky overhead, but you get that reddish glow. And what Bria said, the umbra, it never completely covers the horizon, because you can see more than 100 miles, or not, you can't see, but the light refracts around that. So it's a refraction of the red light, which is bent the most, I think. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened with the clouds in my situation. It's interesting that Bria had a different, it didn't seem like it got as dark. That's interesting, because Buffalo was right in the center, line of the eclipse as well. Both Buffalo and Rochester were.
Another effect was my sister and her friend and I were talking about how the air felt different. It felt, I don't know, soft or something. Did you notice that?
I don't know about soft, but you're definitely, you know, the slight coolness in temperature. I think I remember smelling something weird, but that could have been because we were kind of in an industrial part of Rochester. But I do remember smelling something weird in the air. So there was some differences, and I guess I noticed that too in the other two eclipses as well. It is amazing all the things that change. It's just, which makes it so fascinating for 3 to 4 minutes of time, which of course, as you know, went very quickly, very, very quickly.
And moving from the eclipse, in past episodes, we've talked about the effect of El Nino on weather. And I understand mm-hmm. you have an update on that.
Yeah, well, it looks like the El Nino is definitely, it's not gone yet, but it's definitely weakening. And it's like an 80% chance it'll weaken in the next couple of weeks. And I'll tell you, boy, we've really had a wet spring because of the El Nino. It didn't happen last Super El Nino for some reason, but for every other Super El Nino, usually a wet spring follows. And we've had 14.63 inches of rain at the airport through April 15th, our third wettest from January 1st to April 15th of any year since 1874. 1990 was the last year that was wetter than at this time than that. So, we've had plenty of rain, but the El Nino effects will probably linger, although it's interesting. It looks like there is a subtle pattern change happening that might be coincidental with the weakening of the El Nino. It looks like we're going to start getting into a more northwesterly flow over the next week to 2 weeks. And for once, we don't see any big rainstorms our way. We'll still get disturbances, plenty of them, but we'll be looking at lighter precipitation amounts, which is a good thing because the water tables are high. I know we didn't get a lot of snow this winter, but the mountains sure did. And all that water runs down through the Hudson into the greater capital region. And the ground is saturated. So we do not need rain at this point. We really could use a break.
And speaking of precipitation and rain, early Monday morning, Albany had really thick fog. And I usually think of that as coming with the snow rising up and changing to mist. What's going on with the fog?
Well, it's a little unusual to get fog this time of year, but again, we've been having so much rain, the ground has been wet, and we just got under a classic inversion this morning. It, you know, had nothing to do with snow. It just basically had to do with the temperature and the dew point, which we talked about, were equal not only at the surface, but a long way from the surface up to probably a couple thousand feet off the deck. So, and you had the perfect conditions for fog to form. And then it took a while to dissipate, and then God was calm, and then I went out biking, and the wind picked up. So it was kind of an interesting day, but that's a little unusual for April. Usually it's just not this wet in April. In April, we're talking about fire weather concerns, which I don't think we'll have to worry about at least this week. And by next week, we might be starting to have green up a little bit more, but we'll see how that goes. But anyway, the fog was interesting. It was one of the densest fog I've seen in a while this time of year. Absolutely.
And he, what do you think the weather has in store for us this coming week?
Okay, so basically this northwesterly flow was going to block the next system from coming in at least till Thursday. It looks like we will get a little rain Thursday night into Friday, but with any luck at all, it will get out of here for the weekend. Of course, this weekend is Earth Day weekend coming up with all the festivities from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And right now, fingers crossed, it looks pretty dry. There could be a few sprinkles around. It's not going to be warm with the northwesterly flow. It's actually going to be at or maybe slightly below seasonable temperatures, but their seasonable temperatures are now near 60. So I think we can all live with that. So it looks like a pretty good week coming up. A little bit of rain, like I said, Thursday into Thursday night, early Friday, and then hopefully that's about it. And we won't be deluged this week like we have been the last many weeks.
Okay, thanks you for joining us once again. We look forward to talking with you next week.
My pleasure. Take care. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thanks, you.
You too.
All right.